You're listening to the High Vibe Tribe podcast at HeartShift Radio. It's soul food to feed your light.
Welcome, everyone, to the High Vibe Tribe. And thank you so much for being here with us today. I have such a wonderful guest, Cliff Aguirre, and I want to make certain that Cliff's story is one that is heard because I know that it's going to inspire you. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that everything has its own perfect timing. And in this time right now, I believe that each of us, the healers, the light workers, those living in service, are really being called to step up our game. And what you're going to hear is how this man was able to make that transition, seemingly from night to day. Of course, it doesn't happen in just the blink of an eye. But when you say yes to spirit, the universe really does lay itself at your feet. And all of a sudden, you can step up in a great big way. So, without further ado, I want to welcome you, Cliff Aguirre, author, medium, past life regressionist, hypnotherapist,
musician,
just a marvelous, marvelous soul. Sitting in front of me, by the way, and I'm so happy to be in his presence and to feel the peacefulness of his nature and to see the light shining in his eyes. And what a delight this is. So, Cliff, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell me something. What would be the one thing that you would want practitioners all around the world to know? What would you say to inspire them to come forward?
I'd probably say that they need to get really in touch with themselves and all of the stuff that is actually happening in them and around them, because there's a lot going on. And the more you're aware of it, the more you can actually utilize it, and the more you can spread it around and help people and help yourself, actually.
What do you think the fear is that so many people have? You know, this guild in Plymouth, one of the other things that is my intention with it is to really mitigate the fear that people have about coming out into the community. What do you think that's all about? Do you think it's from past lives that we've had as witches who were burned at the stakes? Do you think it's, you know, the pressures of this modern day world to not be a spiritual hearted person? What do you think is going on?
Well, I firmly believe that people come into this world as spiritual beings, and even kids are very aware still of their past lives and who they really are. But then as they grow older, the environment that they're in, the parents, the community, the church, whatever you want to say, starts closing them down because there's so many alternative beliefs that, you know, you have to fit within this role, you have to fit within this belief, you have to be this way and not that way. And, you know, that thought is crazy, you know, but this thought fits in. We're okay with that. And so a lot of people are afraid to actually tune into what they actually know, what they actually feel, and afraid to branch out and accept the fact that they are these gigantic spiritual beings that are just simply on a journey through life. And I think that's where a lot of the conflicts come, because within us, we battle with who we're supposed to be and who we really are. And sometimes it's really hard to break out of that mold that we've been taught. But once you break out, it's total freedom. And that's what people need to do, is break out. Because by having that spiritual awareness that was always with you, would actually change the world around you, even if it's just your house, your neighborhood, your town, your state, the world. It's that whole new acceptance of really who we are. And I think people are trying to get to that point, but they're really held back by what other people may think of them, by set rules that they're breaking and everything. But I think we're in a gigantic transition at the moment where they're actually going to break out of that.
Hear, hear.
You know?
Well, I can tell you this much. I was ordained as a spiritualist minister in 1974. At that time, the only people I could speak about to the things that I did mm-hmm. were those people who came into the church, those people who I was, you know, training with or being taught by. We had a very small circle of people where we could really be our authentic selves. And I think that that's what you're describing. It's coming into this place of being authentic, being our true nature, right, in a very expanded way. And I think you're right. I think that we're in this place right now where it's becoming much more acceptable, right? I can go into the dry cleaners now and suddenly find myself in some kind of a metaphysical conversation that wouldn't have happened 10, 15, even 20 years ago. But that being the case, what's still holding these people back from stepping out of
fear?
How's the fear holding them back? How is the fear manifesting that holds them in such a state of paralyzation, really?
It's easier to do what you know than it is to do something brand new. And I actually saw a saying just today that said, if you want something new to happen in your life, you have to do something new.
Kind of a twist on Einstein's quote there.
But yeah. A lot of people are just stuck because this is what I know.
Yeah.
And I'm also a life coach, which I didn't throw in there, but I'm throwing in there now. And a lot of the clients that I work with, a lot of them are in abusive relationships or came out of an abusive childhood and everything. And you give them all the tools and all the guidance to move forward, to make these fantastic changes in their lives. And they go, yes, this is great. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this. And then you find out, well, they're just sticking with what they know. And they just stay in the abusive relationship. They still believe terribly about themselves and everything. It's harder to make the change, but you really do need to make the change happen. And since I do past life regressions, I'm also going to tell people, you got to make this change too, because if not, you drag this along with you into future lives, and you may have to deal with it again. Do you really want to do that? I don't think so. I don't. I definitely don't.
It's like baggage on top of baggage.
Of course.
Yeah.
And actually, my goal and my saying to myself throughout my life is to always move forward, to always do the changes that I know I need to work through. Because I'm totally aware that at the very last day of my life, I'm going to be going, how did I do?
Yeah.
What could I have done better? And some of the stuff that happened in my life, I do not ever want to experience ever again.
I feel the same way. And I'm sure that most people would probably agree with us.
So people have to do the work.
So you bring up a very important question. You didn't start out in your professional career doing what you're doing now. Well, share with us a little bit of that journey, because it had to have involved changes that you made in your own life that brought you to where you are.
Oh my gosh, how long do you have?
We can go as long as we want.
Well, actually, this all started around when I was a child, actually. And my first real recollection is being 8 years old and being in elementary school, sitting in school looking around going, if only the rest of these kids knew what I was going to be doing in my life. And I knew from that point that I was here to teach and I was here to learn and do all the stuff that I'm doing now. But I knew it back when I was 8. And
That's
when everybody
amazing.
Else wanted to be policemen or firemen and everything, I wanted to be a minister at 8 years old. And that thought has never left me since. And so I was like a collector of experiences because I started having ghosts walking through my bedroom at night and everything. And then when I was about 12, I saw my grandmother standing in the doorway with this overflowing amount of love towards me. And that was the real first time that I ever really realized, wait a second, we must still exist after we pass away, you know?
What was your initial reaction, though? Did it scare you?
Oh, not at all.
Even the first time when you were 8 and you had
when I had ghosts
walking. When he had ghosts walking through your room.
I spent a lot of time under my coat, you know, and everything. But these were ghosts that I don't think even knew that I was there.
Mm.
It's almost like I was on a path or a road that they were taking to get from point A to point B, and I just happened to be there. But to me, I was watching them float through my house, my bedroom, and I was actually going, oh, my God. And this happened almost every night, you know. And you were talking about, you know, what do other people know about you and everything. You know, how often could I go to school at 8 years old and go, hey, I just saw 12 ghosts walking through my room. No, you couldn't talk about that.
No.
And oh, I just saw my grandmother. She's dead, but I just saw her in the doorway. How many people could I tell that to?
Right.
You know? Where now it's more normal. But back then, you would have been, oh, my God, the kid needs help, you know? And then when I was about 15, I had somebody come back to me that I recognized right away. And this guy was telling me all about, you know, what it was like for him to pass over and everything. And it wasn't anything I intended to happen. I just happened to wake up one night and there he is standing next to my bed like I had known him forever. And, you know, he was telling me all this stuff. Who do I tell, you know? Do I go to school and say, hey, guess what happened? Do I tell my parents, hey, you know, this guy came to me last... No. And this is in 1971. You couldn't talk about that stuff.
No.
And then, you know, I had other things happen, you know, the girl that passed away and everything.
Who was a close friend of yours, right? She was your girlfriend.
Yeah. And so that was in 1974. And suddenly she was back talking to me, telling me about what it was like and everything, telling me who it was that killed her and how she felt and all this stuff. And how many people do I tell that to?
Sure.
I told a few people that who I knew would accept it, but that was a very small amount of people. And then, so you gather all these experiences through your life, and I'm only up to age 19.
Mm.
By the way, I'm 63 right now. So you gather this stuff, and then the two of them told me, you're going to write a book. And the title of the book is The Death Transition. And I went, okay, I'll do it, you know. And they just kind of channeled the book for me, and I wrote it out. And
when was that? What?
1976.
Wow.
I didn't publish it till about 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still being published now, and it's on Amazon. So, but they were telling me exactly what you go through pre-death and after-death and everything. And I've had people read it that said, this is exactly what our patients have experienced and everything. So, you know, okay, so now I have a book. And now I'm doing that. And then... as other experiences start happening throughout my life, it's like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. This is like an everyday occurrence to the point where I got to the point where I just now accepted the fact that, hey, this is a different reality that is actually merging with ours. We do still exist, you know, and be having dreams where people would be telling me all about my life and life after death and past lives and everything. I had dreams where they said, go to the library, look up this name. And I wrote down the name and I said, I've never heard of this name ever. And I didn't think it really existed, but I followed through just like I was instructed. And sure enough, there was the name. And I pulled out the books and I started reading. And I go, this sounds familiar. And the next dream, the next night, said, well, that was you in a past life. So, you know, start gathering all that information and suddenly your life is changing from, I'm just not a regular kid, in Los Angeles. Suddenly I'm collecting all this information. And it was almost like I was almost on psychic overload.
Mm.
Because it's like, who do I tell this to?
And what do you do with it? So much information.
Well, you just start listening and learning.
Yeah.
And figuring out how it fit into your life and what lessons are being learned and everything. And I think with all the experiences that I experienced throughout my life, from being 8 years old to the present, it totally changed my whole outlook on life and who I am. And now I've realized I'm just a spiritual person that's on a journey. This is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to move on. And then I'm going to go do something else and live another life after that. I've lived before this. I'm going to live after it. And it changed the whole perspective because, as we were saying earlier, you get to the point where you have no fear about death. And it's so freeing.
Right.
Because you know you're a continuous being. You're a continuous person.
So and, live life.
Yeah. And all this knowledge that I collected, we all have that information. And the more that I talk to people about it, or the more that people read my books and everything, they go, you know what? I got to tell you a story that happened to me. And then suddenly people start opening up that they've had some of the similar experiences and some of the same awarenesses. But this thing has to spread even further, because as it spreads, it will flip the whole reality of who we think we are as a human race.
Bingo!
You know?
Absolutely.
Because who we are and what we see on the media or in politics or whatever you want to say is not really who we are.
That's correct.
We're stuck in this like passion play that we keep repeating, and we got to break free of it.
And there's a reason why it's called the mundane.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah. Stuck just in that world. But I do hope that all of our listeners, and again, I'm calling, you know, for all of you practitioners in Massachusetts and this area, to really start to consider what Cliff just said. As we band together, we will flip the reality. We've all heard for years about the New World.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the world, New World is created through us. Individually, we're extremely powerful creators, but when we come together, we see the strength and the power of our creative abilities to do exactly what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know, the world is yearning for it. You know, we think the whole world is, you know, being puppeted by all of the evil and the disconnect and the segregation and the prejudice and all that. It's not. At the core of each person is the same spirit that is you, the same spirit that's me.
Yeah.
The core of our being is love, and as love, we need to love. And so it's our true nature to do that. So, again, to have an opportunity to come together so that you never feel alone again, so that you always have a person who will listen to your story, mm-hmm. who will listen to your experiences and help you to assimilate into them and see that that's normal. We do have an opportunity to change the world. And I think maybe even an obligation. which is why there are so many of us right now.
Oh, yeah. I knew at 8 years old that I came here for this purpose.
Yeah.
But see, the thing of it is that I'm not any different from anybody else.
No.
At all. And the other thing is that, you know, in the world, a lot of people just see themselves as islands, you know, and we're battling against the system, we're battling against our neighbors and all this stuff. But what we really need to see is that we're actually just people on a journey.
And we're battling against ourselves.
For no reason at all.
For no reason.
And then and people have probably read this, that when you pass away, there's suddenly this enormous amount of love just flows into you and everything like this. And that's the real core of who we are, but also that's the real core of what existence is.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that you need to go ahead and go, well, that's what I want, so I'm leaving. Because that's not the answer. Because you're supposed to find it here, and you're supposed to bring that love into here. And that's probably what they call about heaven on earth in the Bible and different religions and everything, that they're trying to actually project and teach what that core value is. But everybody is so caught up in this other vision that's mundane, that's chaotic. And if you turn on the news and watch the news, what you're really watching are people that are not aware of who they are and where they came from. They're all doing this little drama that they've learned, and they need to break that cycle.
Yeah. And we have church bells ringing in the background. Yeah. How lovely.
Did you do that on purpose?
I did.
You pressed the button under the table. But no, that's the whole big awareness. And when I was doing these past life regressions for volunteers for my book, Journey Back, there were three things that I learned from listening to everything that they said. Was one, was that we never die, we continuously live on, and that life is just a momentary journey. Two, is that we come from multiple races. We've had lives in multiple races. And three, we're both men and women in different lives and everything. And some people may go, what? But it's really true, because that's part of the whole experience of learning. Because once you start learning in this big, vast, gigantic way, you suddenly learn all the well-rounded stuff of who your personality is.
Mm.
And when you look at all this stuff, it's so freeing.
Tell me something. With the work you do with the past life regression, do you have opportunity to hear much about the soul groups
sometimes
that repeat, you know, their lives together but change roles?
Yep. I've had some people who were wives in one life, and then suddenly they were the husbands, you know? And it's the most, it's the funniest thing to have men come back after doing a regression, after they've talked about being a woman and giving birth and how much they love their husbands and all this stuff. And then they come out and they go, what was that? You know, because they don't
perceive. Makes them shudder.
They don't perceive themselves in the other role.
Yeah.
But it's also very eye-opening.
Yeah.
But also I've had, like for instance, I'll tell you the story about this woman that came in. And she wanted to go on a past life regression. So we did this. And she was talking about her friend. That was her best friend down the road in this farmhouse. And, you know, telling me all about her life and what it was like and everything. So the next day, her friend showed up. And I said, did you talk to Susie or whatever her name was? No, we didn't have a chance to talk about it. Okay. So I put her under past life regression. She's talking about her friend in this farmhouse down the road that is her best friend, and telling me the exact same thing that Susie had just told me the night before. So when I brought her out, I said, you two better talk to each other, because you guys were best friends in the past too. Mm. and they are traveling together.
I can feel the God bumps with that one.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's such a reality. Yeah. Everything.
I had three of my children that came back with memory and of changed roles within our soul group, which was so interesting. Mm-hmm. And so many people are reporting it more and more. There's this, you know, and I think it has to do with the acceptance of people being able to speak of it easier now. But also I think that our awareness has grown. We've expanded our consciousness to the point where we're able to take it in, and it's not so scary anymore to look at all of that.
My three children were all aware that we have traveled before in other lifetimes and everything. And it's just common acceptance that we have, and we have this very close bond because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people that come in, like, you know, I always want to know, you know, why did I pick those ex-wives, you know? Who are they? I really want to get to the core of that someday to find out if there was probably some kind of a thing that we needed to resolve at some point. But the core with my kids, we've always traveled. And I actually, at a workshop that I went to one time, I ended up going back to being a woman in the 1600s. And my three kids were my three kids. Mm-hmm. I had given birth to them. Except the oldest one was male. She's a daughter now. But it was just, I was just so aware. It was the same three kids.
Same soul essence.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I had given birth to them on the other part.
So we can see why this information is so important. Because you and I have similar work. You know, we work with people from a coaching perspective. Many have had traumas in their lives, many childhood traumas. And I know a lot of, you know, my clients will ask, why would I ever pick these parents? Why would I ever pick this scenario? Why would I choose to be in that kind of a relationship? And this information gives us a bit of an opportunity to understand that nothing is as it seems. There is something going on that we are not aware of, and it all has to do with our soul's expansion. But there are things that we can glean from these experiences of past life regression that we can utilize, and we can use it to enhance our lives now, to come into a more powerful and aware sense of who we are in the world, and not allow any of those other aspects or experiences to define us. It's a most remarkable thing, and I know that we spoke of this before, but I think that probably past life regression work is one of the most powerful tools that we have for healing.
And I don't think it's as odd as what people may think it is at the moment. Once it's more accepted, I've always said that past life should also be a part of present life therapy.
Yes.
Because what I've discovered was some of the things that are bothering people in their present life right now came from something that they did not resolve in the past.
That's right.
And then once I help them resolve it, it changes their lives because they let go of that. But also when people ask, well, how did I end up with this person? Why in the world would I pick this family? You know, there's certain factors involved in it because on some levels, okay, there are some lessons that we all needed to learn together. But at the same time, the people that we travel with could have been messed up by some of the earthly experiences that they had from their parents, you know? And so that kind of messes with everything. So it's not a cut and dry thing where you say, well, why would I pick this person? The person that entered the world may not be totally the person that ended up the one you met because they've been messed up somehow or another. Once we get into that state where we actually understand who we are and what our existence is all about, that mess up is not going to happen as often in the future. And then we're going to have a more pure existence.
Sure. Because our consciousness would have been raised.
Right.
The vibrational frequency of our right. essence will be right. raised. And from that aspect, everything changes. Every experience right. born of that.
And then in the future, you won't need you and I to take you through a past life regression because you're going to already be aware of
exactly
who you are.
Yeah. And that when we experience things, and I think that this is probably some of the hope also when we take people through past life regressions, is that they learn to be present in their lives where they're not taking everything personally. Mm-hmm. That this is all part of the journey that you spoke of. This is, and we're all connected.
Right.
So we don't know how it's relating to the other person. We don't know how all of that interchanges been designed. But from this place, from a higher awareness, which happens every single time we have a regression, and we become different people. We're more whole, more available to ourselves and to the people that we love and the community, the world. We're just, there's more of us that's available.
Well, you know, when people go, well, how could God allow this to happen? Well, there's also free will. And God gives free will. And the thing that this whole world that we exist in is part of our creation also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God may have created the world, but we're also creating it also on the freedom that we received, if that makes any sense. And so we're molding the world in the way that we view it at the second. And so once we start expanding our awareness, we'll change the world again. We can either go backwards or we can go forward. And I want everybody to go forward, of course. But we are also have to play a part and take responsibility for what we have to contribute to the world.
And we all have contributions to make.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of us is significant. It's why we're here.
It doesn't matter whether your contribution's in your house, your neighborhood, your state, the whole no. world, whatever. You know?
Yeah, we're filled with them.
But, you know, people also, just in their own homes, can have these same experiences that we're talking about because there's things that are happening around them all the time. People get these flashes all of a sudden of maybe they sense something from a past and they go, what is that? And then they'll probably most likely deny it and go, oh, no, that's crazy. But instead of denying it, pause for a second and listen to it and go, what is that? Because your awareness can jump over into other realities or other past memories, even if it's just briefly. And the more that you pause and the more you listen, the more you'll expand and start finding out who you truly are.
Yeah, I think that that's food for another conversation,
oh, yeah.
which could go forever. but it's an important one. It's a really very important conversation. And I'm so happy that we've had this opportunity to talk about these things and to bring awareness to the importance of this work, your work, my work. And I like what you said so much, Cliff, about you're no different from anybody else. Your abilities are maybe more finely tuned than somebody else's.
But I worked at it.
But you worked at it. And mm-hmm. so the commitment that you made to yourself, which from my perspective is the definition of self-love, mm-hmm. that you said yes to your own potential. You said yes to the possibilities of bringing yourself to this place where the work now is the complete focus of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where I am. It's a place of understanding that there's nothing else of greater importance than for us to step into the wholeness of our being and to start to utilize all of the gifts that we've been given. Each and every one of us has them. They need to be developed so that we can all start living differently. We don't have to live like this.
No, and that's what I wanted to say also, was that any of you listeners out there who are stuck in a terrible relationship or not happy with their lives or anything, need to realize that they are good people, they deserve love, and they need to make the effort to accept and make the changes of what is already within them.
That's right.
And not accept anything less than that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. To not accept anything less. When we start to accept that it is our birthright to be happy and healthy and whole, prosperous, abundant, peaceful, creative, and joyful.
And don't let anybody tell you you can't do something that is inherent within you, that is a born talent or a born whatever, you know. Go with what you feel.
Yes.
Because the message is there. It's knocking at your door. It's trying to get out like a mad person. Come on, let me out, let me out. And you have to start letting that core of who you really are out.
Yeah.
Because the sad person, the person that's stuck, is not really who you are. It's the situation around you.
And the call for change.
Yep.
The call for a different choice. And there's no such thing as it not being big enough. Nope. You can take the smallest of steps. You can take the biggest, you know, dive off of a bridge. It doesn't matter. Each one is equal in where it will take you.
But the important part of it is to take the first step.
To take the action. Exactly right. Tell us about your books. I'm sure our audience is excited to know about them, excited to know that they are available to them.
Well, the first book was The Death Transition. This is where my friend, two friends came back and told me what it was like for them to pass over. And that was the first book that I published. It's still on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
My second book was called Encounters with the Other Side, which is all about my true experiences with loved ones coming back, but also those ghosts that I talked about,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it goes from when I was even just a child to now. All those experiences are in there. And then the third book is Journey Back, and that's the past life regression one. Those are the actual stories of the volunteers who went back. And I just find that book fascinating because you learn so much from these people.
Yeah.
And everything. And I have a website called cliffagary.com.
You're going to have to spell it, Cliff.
I know. CLIFFAGUIRRE.com. And on there, I have some past life audio recordings from the actual sessions on there. They're quite interesting. And so I'm working on a book now called Navigating Life, which I'm excited about. And the other one is to help parents who have had children who have passed away. So important. Those are the two books that are in the works at the moment.
Very exciting.
And then my hypnosis site is mindbalancehypnosis.com. So
can you repeat those two websites again, please?
Okay, mindbalancehypnosis.com, that's all about my hypnosis. And then cliffagary.com, CLIFFAGUIRRE.
Okay.
That has everything to do with my books, music, interviews, all the recordings of past life regressions, and just everything else that I do.
That's amazing. So much access to your work. Go ahead, what did you want to say?
Also, I have now podcasts that are up on iTunes. One is called Mind Balance Hypnosis, which I'm not just talking about hypnosis, but I'm also talking about acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine, meditation, and all that stuff. And then I have one called Navigating Life, which is a playoff for my book because I'm interviewing people about how they made it through situations and different stories about society and just life and how to get through your life that you're living in now. And then the final one is Journey Back, which is all about ghosts and past life regressions and interviews with people from around the world who have gone through these experiences. Pretty amazing.
That's fantastic. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am with the work that you're doing and what you're bringing to the world and how you're making this world a much better place, bringing your heart and your peacefulness forward to share.
Well, that's part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. And that I've had this opportunity to speak with you and share you with my audience and everyone who will benefit from it, because it's never just where it lands initially. There's a ripple effect to everything that we do. And I know that people will be talking about this interview with their friends. And by the way, for all of our listeners, if you have any comments or questions, please leave them below. We can address them. Either if it's just for Cliff, I can make certain that he gets it, and otherwise I can answer. And just know that whatever it is that you're going through, what you're questioning, what you are dreaming about, anything that you are really seeking answers for, or just need someone to listen to you, that we're here. And we're here because, as Cliff said, this is what we do.
And I always like to say that do the work to make your life better.
Essential.
Definitely.
Absolutely essential. Yeah. And to reach out for help when you need it.
Of course.
Yeah. We all had to do that. There's not anyone in the position that we're in that did not reach out for help when they needed it.
I still reach out for help.
So do I, all the time. Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's everything right about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we all need support. And we need to sometimes look through the eyes of another, hear through the ears of another.
And also, I always tell people to allow yourself to be human, but at the same time, start to become that spiritual person that you are also. And then it'll start creating a balance for you.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here. And thank you to our audience for listening and giving us your very precious time. And again, if you have any comments or questions, please make certain that you leave them below. And we'll be back at another time with many other conversations to come. Again, this is your host, Marcy Newman. It's been such a delight to be here today, and I look forward to next time. Many blessings to you. Bye-bye.